welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And once again, we are back. As usual, another week has passed, another podcast has begun. It's like it's in the title of the podcast or something. It's very, very creepy how that works out, isn't it?
Maybe planned, not so much creepy.
But yes, we are back with another one of our special editions of the Haunt Weekly. I almost said the Copyright 2.0 show from my other podcast. Oh my God, I'm slipping.
Yes.
I haven't even done one of those in forever.
It's haunt season. That means that we are extra tired from all of the extra work.
Yes, yeah, so working in a hot-ass haunt and then coming and doing podcasting, maybe not the best thing on the mental faculties, I'm finding.
Yeah.
But yes, we are back nonetheless. And we do have a very special episode because it is another edition of Women in Haunting.
Yes.
And this one's going to work out a little different. Other ones, we've Skyped in people from all over the country.
Right.
But this week, we actually have the lovely Cricket with us.
Yeah.
not her real name, but she wanted to come with us and talk about her experiences haunting. And we have an hour to fill, so let's do exactly that. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
It's a lovely sometime in September. Good God, my mental faculty is flipping.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes, they are. You actually are the one who kicked off the series for us.
Thank you for taking
after talking
over.
To you.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. I thought it was an important issue because I've had issues of my own working at haunts. They usually stick me in mom roles. For some reason.
It's because she looks so maternal.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't look maternal.
Yeah. Yeah, usually mom roles and not scary roles. So, so how did you get into haunting?
I knew a friend when I moved to New Orleans who was part of a haunt the year before and kind of turned me on to it. And so then I just ended up meeting people who were associated with that haunt and, you know, just signed up.
Yeah.
Or auditioned, I guess. It was kind of not really like an actor's audition. It was just sort of like, what can you do? And I have an improv background and stuff. So,
cool.
You know, I kind of did some characters and some things like that.
You did a lot of improv comedy, basically. Or improv, just okay.
Improv comedy.
Oh, very cool.
Nice.
That, I never actually thought of that, but that translates so well to haunting. That improv ability. It does. Your ability to play up what others do, including
it's
your customer sometimes.
All about timing.
Exactly.
Okay,
and,
Chad.
And playing off your guests. You
right.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of it is being able to pick out, like, who the target of the group, who you're going to target, who you're going after. And this is stuff that, yeah, you can't teach, but an improv comedy background you can work on and build. So that's a good
So how long were you doing that for?
Yeah.
The improv?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I was in the Second City Conservatory for a year and a half in Hollywood, and then just kind of did a little bit more after that, and had done a little bit before that, but really kind of dug into it at the conservatory.
Right. So how long then have you been into haunting?
As an actor, just a few years, but you know, as a person that goes,
right.
I guess like
the aficionado part, as we call it.
Yes,
you know, probably since I was a teenager, but I've always been very terrified, and I thought if I worked in one, it would kind of help me get over my fear of the dark. Actually, because I was scared of the dark. So.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, so we hear that a lot, though. That's actually a very common thing I've heard is people who are terrified of haunts wanting to go work in them, partly to overcome the fear, but also because by being in that role, you're not afraid.
Right.
You're the empowered one in the relationship now.
Yeah.
So that's a very common way for people to get into haunting.
Yeah, we actually have several people who worked in our haunts over the years who will not go to haunted houses, won't even go through ours as a guest.
We do the annual, hey, we're going to 13th Gate, we're going to wherever, you know, come carpool with us. I'm like, nah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, we'll work with you. We'll scare people, but no, we're not going. So.
Yeah.
It's just a haunted house. You work in one. You know how it operates.
Well, I was scared to walk through with the lights on. myself. Wow. Like, I kind of psyched myself out to try to do it, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
And then I barely could do it, you know, when it was running. I kind of went through at the end, you know. And
yeah.
I was still like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, for our listeners, there is a huge thunderstorm about to burst open, so if you hear that coming in, it's just ambiance.
That's not us, like, adding audio effects afterward.
Yeah.
This is, look, guys, it's New Orleans, it's the late summer, early fall, this is life, okay?
Right.
It's going to get in your recordings. You cannot avoid it.
Oh.
But yeah, so you got into haunting, and what kind of roles did you find yourself doing right off the bat?
Initially, I got to do some, like, really cool, you know, scary vampire, you know, kind of sexy roles, but I had the freedom of improvising the role, so I wasn't just a jump and scare person. I got to interact with the customers, and that's why I mentioned, you know, you kind of play off of the energy that you're getting from them.
Right.
So if they come in and they're really giggly, then I find things that are going to make them laugh even more, and it's a good experience, and if they're, like, really smug and not scared, then I, you know, I find things that are gonna, like, be super creepy and, like, really scary, so.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you were able to develop characters on personal level, depending on the group that was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important, because if everyone in a haunt is just jumping out and trying to scare people, and we've been to haunts like that, where it's like every actor is someone behind a barrel or behind a wall or something that's waiting, or behind a drop panel trying to get you.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for anyone to get got.
Yes.
Because there's no mental break. And by doing that, you're providing people taking them out of that bubble they're putting themselves in. And B, you're also providing possibly the distract and startle, especially if you've got someone else in the room that is the gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and it's the most recurring sound in those haunts is grrr.
Grrr. Bang, bang.
Sometimes I would pretend that I was one of the figures that were there was a couple figures in the room, and I would just place myself as if I was part of the scene of the fake figures.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I'd hear people saying, like, "Oh, no, she's real. No, it's not. And then when I got close enough, then I would do something to scare them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun, because when you do that, if you do that right, even the people that know or expect you to be real can still be scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because timing!
Yes.
It discusses everything on that.
Yeah, and even groups that came in that were clearly terrified, like if it was three or four people and they were, like, holding on to each other and, like, barely able to walk.
Right.
The way that I looked was so scary that I could just hover around them and, like, give them looks.
Yeah.
You know, and that was enough to, like, freak him out.
So you said it was kind of a sexy vampire role. What was your outfit like?
That was, it was like a white sheer gown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, do you think that some people were more interested in what they could see of you than being scared? Or were you able to... It sounds like you were able to effectively scare people while playing a sexy character.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, there was makeup involved. There were makeup including teeth, white contact lenses, a wig, body makeup, blood, but also the character that I created, which, you know, sounds nothing like me.
Right.
And so all of that combined... There were people that come and say, "Oh, wow, you're really pretty." Like, a lot of women actually would tell me I was pretty, and I was like, "What? What are you looking at?" You know, and once in a while there'd be guys like, "Oh, man, yeah, she's hot. Like, yeah, you can suck my blood." But for the most part, it wasn't like people weren't caught up in that visual. They were caught up in the fact that I looked creepy as hell.
and this is maybe a moment where my personal experience going through haunts, because I go through haunts, it's like me going through my living room, I admit it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm a little too at home in haunted attractions to fully appreciate how those two things can work together so well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then this is, like I said, this is me realizing that I'm not always the best judge for how scary a scare is in a haunt sometimes.
Right. And, well, and that's one of the things that I think is I've been pulling out of these interviews is that it's really important for the equality of women to be able to play whatever kind of role you're comfortable in. So if it is a sexy role, then that's something that shouldn't be looked down upon just because it's a sexy role. You should, you know, be able to play that. Just like you should be able to play a monster if you want to be a monster, or a princess if you want to be a pretty princess, you know?
I'm curious how you expect to integrate a princess into a scary haunted house.
They could be the ambassador like Nina was outside.
All right. There you go. There you go. Okay.
They could be a psychotic princess.
That's very true too. I actually am scared of that. I will say it straight up. I'm scared of it.
Especially
I'm scared of you for thinking of it.
Yeah.
Especially trust me. I could probably scare you being a psychotic princess. You would never see it coming.
I can see that.
That sounds awesome, and I won't see you do that sometime.
Well, now I know why we're building our haunt room.
So next time at karaoke or whatever.
Yeah, we got a plan now.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I agree. But one of the questions I always am faced with is, why don't we see more men in those sexy roles? I mean, I am curious because in my experience going through haunts, I admit they're primarily a male customer base. But I see a decent percentage of women, and it seems to be a growing percentage.
Right.
I'm going to have to pay close attention to this as we do our haunt visits this year, because admittedly, this is not something I always, look for. I'm not going 1, 2, 3, 4, no, I'm not doing the head counts.
Yeah.
But the perception, and like I said, it could just be a perception thing. I admit that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, at least in the haunts we go to, that there is a significant minority of women.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just my experience with that is, you know, last season I kind of got pushed out of even having a role where I had been working before,
right?
Because they pretty much booked most of the roles for men,
right?
Even though they were masked roles or there were a lot of random roles, but it was still like I just didn't make, you know, like make the cut, I guess you can say, because it was very male dominated.
Yeah.
So your experience is that it is something of a boys' club in haunting.
Yeah, and then the sexy roles, it was, you know, I wasn't young enough and pretty enough and thin enough to be sexy, and I feel like, you know, sexy comes in lots of different packages. It's not it's not just the idea of what's on a magazine, and to me, it really goes back to, are you an actor? Because I feel like, yeah, it's a haunt. You can have the jump and scare people, but I think if you have really good actors who are really passionate and can bring a developed character into the role, it doesn't matter what you physically look like.
Right.
You know, because with all of the elements that go into that character, the, you know, costume, makeup, the whole bit, and then the energy you put out and the character you create, you know.
Right.
That's gonna bring it to life or not.
Right, exactly. It's like, whenever you feel really confident, people see you as being more attractive, and whenever you're on an off day, you know, you might not get noticed as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, with the clientele coming through, were they mainly respectful of your space and character? Because we've heard, well, I've read tales of females being inappropriately approached while in character.
I heard that. I know it happened while I was there. It didn't really happen to me, but I am very outspoken and kind of fearless, and you know, I will, anybody that kind of would indicate verbally anything, I'm trying to word this correctly.
Yeah.
Without being vulgar.
Yeah.
Basically, it was very clear that I am not the person to mess with that way.
Right. Gotcha.
Because you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Also, another question. You mentioned that the male-dominated roles, even under mask.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any female roles that were not scary at the haunt that you were at?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole room of just random...
Well, I meant the opposite of that. Scratch that, reverse it, you know.
Okay, Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka here. And were there any that were just scary without having any sexiness to the costume at all?
Well, yeah, because they were like scary, bloody, gross masks in scary, bloody, gross rooms.
Okay, so some women did go into just mask roles and...
Well, no, I mean, they weren't female actors in those roles. They were. Are you saying were there
any women put into non-sexy character roles?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. See, that seems like a problem to me.
Because the thing about it is this, what makes a character scary to me is A, the ability to improv and target the crowd,
right.
And B, the timing.
Yep.
Those are the two things that are most important. Not physical presence, not strength, not anything. I mean, if some roles, I guess, like athleticism is a big deal, like the guy at the Necropolis that does all the insane...
Parkour guy.
Yes,
holy
exactly.
Jesus, that guy.
How is he not...
just thinking about yes. him. My knees are like, ow!
And I do know the secret behind that, but we won't go into it.
We won't spoil the stuff, but jeez!
But yeah, it's just...
Yeah, there are some roles that require like high male athleticism, but once again, I think a female gymnast could do that role just as easily. In fact, Jesus, doing cartwheel. Now my mind is really thinking about the other people. Quick, to the gymnastic school!
Right.
Let's go.
You don't have enough time, dear.
Oh, God, I know.
We open in like 45 days.
I know.
So.
Yeah. Don't tell. Just panic. Oh, no. But yeah. So that is an issue that for me is that scare roles can be done virtually by anybody,
mm-hmm.
and there are some haunts that do not seem to recognize that. Some haunts that do seem to get it and are very egalitarian with how they parse those roles up. Some that are not.
Yeah.
And this sounds like the one you were at. Sounds like it was not. Yeah. You talked a lot about the boys' club and how there were obviously a lot of guys working. Did you feel behind the scenes that you were treated equally, that you were given the same respect as the other actors were? It's a tough question, I admit it.
And it might be a different answer between other actors and between management.
Yeah, there might be like differing thoughts there. That's a good point.
So I would say like with management... Probably not really. I mean,
no.
Within the actors, it's a completely different vibe and energy, you know?
Right.
Because we're usually all trying to be really supportive of each other. And
yeah. And that's what it is. And that's what I find no matter what kind of haunt you work at, whether it's a passion project or it's run like a business, the actors kind of bond.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the ones that make up the haunt families.
It's a bit of a wartime thing there.
Yeah.
It may not be actual combat, but you have, you know, the enemy cometh. It's the customers. We must scare them. And
yeah.
So there's that immediate camaraderie that comes from that cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I said, it's a not a combat thing, but combat-ish in terms of how the camaraderie grows.
Right.
You're all under fire, the same fire together, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But were there any... you mentioned in passing previously about how you were passed up and for roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd like to talk more about that, but also any other incidents where it felt like, as a woman, you were being maybe shortchanged or not looked at with the same respect by management?
I mean, there's... I don't want to say there's always going to be that person that crosses the line with...
We hope there isn't.
...their verbal innuendos and advances and that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, there was that, which, you know, gets old after a while. And
that was management that did that? That seems like a yes.
And then when you no longer a target and you see them targeting other people or younger girls or underage girls, you're just like, yeah.
That's insanely frustrating to me as a haunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
as both a male and a haunter, that's doubly frustrating.
Sorry. We've actually interviewed two other women and... They're in a different state. They're in Ohio.
Yeah.
I think both of them are located.
I think I'll have to double check that, but yeah.
But,
sounds about right. Ohio apparently is like Haunt Central. I had no idea until we did this podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. But they actually have a completely different take on it because they don't have any of that harassment element there.
And that's what was so interesting from those two interviews was
yeah.
you got to see how because they both started out in situations where they were like the only woman on the team or one of two women on a large team. Mm-hmm. But the team nurtured them and grew with them, and they brought more people in, and then eventually they are now either managing the haunts,
right,
or they're at some kind of lieutenant level capacity or higher. And the result is now their haunt is almost completely gender equal in terms of headcount.
Yeah, mm. It's and at least a 40-60 split.
It's as close as you're reasonably going to get in this particular field sometimes, because at the end of the day, there does seem to be a cultural bias with horror and haunty things toward men that before we ever get to the haunt industry.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Once again, I think that's horrible. I think women should be able to enjoy all the scary things men do.
Yeah.
I would like that very much.
Yeah. So what are some of the ideas that you would have to get more women involved and to make it a safe place to work?
Some of my ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I hadn't really thought about that, but...
Well,
if there's, like, female management...
Yeah.
Or they're given the opportunities to have, you know... those positions,
yeah.
The women that do come on will feel more comfortable.
There were no women managers at the haunt you were at, is what you're...
Not really. Kind of like a sub.
Okay.
Or, I don't know what the right term would be.
No one in assistance. A position of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not. And you know, you knew that there was nobody that was going to really... hear what you had to say.
Right.
You know?
No one had your back there.
Yeah. I mean, they did, but not, you know, there were people, certain people who had been there for a long time that, yes, I would say they'd have my back. But
right.
Whether or not they had any, quote unquote, power to do anything, you know.
Right.
They could be supportive or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'd see them getting, not like sexual harassment or anything, but just kind of like not treated very fairly.
Yeah.
In a general sense.
Yeah.
That's insanely frustrating.
Yeah.
I've seen so many good female scare actors and so many good women managers in haunts, Patty and Crystal and Beck. Because that's insanely frustrating.
Yeah, and I think it would be nice if you know, when they're looking for actors, to encourage women to come in and then actually, like, see what they have to offer. Like, are a lot of people just want to be jump out and scare actors. They don't want to interact. It's not their thing, or they just
right.
want to crawl around the floor, or they just want to be the person that's jumping off the ledge.
Right.
That's cool, but I think that if you really, like, work with each person that you are bringing on board to see what they're really good at, and then utilizing that,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not just because you're, like, you know, 20 and you're cute in a corset, but that, like, you know...
Yeah.
You know, maybe as a zombie or, like, you know, in a lizard creature, you can actually crawl up the walls because you were a gymnast or something.
Right.
You, like, really explore people's talents and utilize that instead of just kind of throwing it away. Like, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, whatever.
You're a female. Here's a corset. Get in your spot. Yeah.
And yeah. Be basically wallpaper in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be eye candy. That,
it's really sad.
It's very sad. It's like you said, I think one of the things you mentioned there was finding the talents and then nurturing them, I think, is a big, big deal here, because when you are able to, like, ask people what they're good at and what they can do and then have them do it, they're going to get better at it, A.
Mm-hmm.
And the better you get at something, the more you want to do it.
Right.
It's kind of a reflex thing.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing that, you're encouraging them to come back year after year after year. Keep doing that role. And
well, that's an interesting word, encouraging them to come back, because in this situation it was almost like
you were disparate.
We don't need you.
Yeah.
A lot of people who had been there for years before I was ever there were suddenly just discarded, and you know, and they had, like, you know, like I had the, you know, a few years ago, they kind of had a vital role where they were, you know, a go-to, like, oh, that character was really awesome, and then
right.
suddenly they're not even good enough to just be a zombie in the corner.
Right. Yeah, because... So we heard what the first role you had there was. What was the last role?
Walking people out who were scared after they entered.
So you went from a fairly vital customer-facing, interacting role to walking out the surrenders, as we call them,
yeah.
in our haunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a non-customer-facing security role.
Right.
Probably, and not even in costume then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
just a waste of talent.
Yeah. And I'm trying to wrap my head around this, just from it's not even like a sexism thing anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's purely a human resources thing to me.
Yeah.
You've spent time and resources training this person, building them up, letting them practice, letting them nail the role, and then ditching all that effort you put into the person to have them do something that, frankly, could have been a flashing arrow on the ground.
Yeah, you could have pulled anybody off the street.
I could have given anyone a flashlight.
And then to watch, like, rooms where there's these, you know, 17, 18-year-old girls in corsets and sexy outfits, which I have nothing against.
Right.
Just kind of standing around and, like, swinging on a pole, and it's like, why is this room even here? It's not even scary. And if you're supposed to be scary, you're not doing anything to be scary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I am familiar with that room.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, somebody who's passionate and has the ability to scare people and be, you know, and improvise stuff that is scary is not utilized.
And like you said, years of practice at the role. Lots of practice at the role.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that because, I mean, we're pretty full up on actors right now. I'm not going to wood. But there are people that if they came back and said that they could work, we're going to find a place for them. We're going to find something for them to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to give them all the leash that we can give them physically with the space we've got.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is. And so, yeah, for talented actors, we've always got a use. We've always got a space.
Right.
I mean, so I can't even begin to think about taking someone who I invested energy in building up.
And that had been part of the group and invested their own energy and time into it and expressed interest in continuing that.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's such a powerful, great resource. Why would you
push that aside? I actually wrote up several ideas I had for interactive characters.
Right.
Yeah.
With costuming and you know, room ideas or whatever when they were still developing what the theme was going to be. And
yeah.
And I know the haunt, we're deliberately not saying the name.
Yeah. So it was never, your ideas were never acknowledged, and you just,
which,
yeah, that's really frustrating too.
It was almost like, oh, these are your ideas, so what, you don't think we can come up with ideas? Well, then we don't even want you acting in our show.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know why, you know, like, I was kind of just...
Yeah. I don't know either.
It's insanely frustrating because this is a...
This is Jonathan's phrase for dinner.
Yeah, well, it is. No, but we are an industry that is perpetually short on talent.
Yeah.
Because this is a talent-driven industry.
Mm-hmm.
Ipso facto, transitive property, we're always short on talent.
Yeah.
When you're a talent-driven industry, the only way you grow is with more talent.
Right.
That's it. That's how you do it. So we're always short on talent. It's not that, you know, we don't have a lot of talented people in this industry. We do. We always need more.
Yeah.
And we always need to be encouraging, nurturing, and growing that talent.
And I mean, that's the one thing that we hear at every haunt conference, is that finding talented actors and keeping them is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, there was actually a talk at HauntCon, I remember. I think it was one of the ones I went to. I don't know if you were there or not, Crystal, but it was, the title of the talk was something like, How to Keep Your Actors Happy and Make Them Stay.
Yeah.
It was almost the exact title of the topic.
Yeah.
And I actually went to that because it was very important to me.
Yeah. So putting the sexist stuff aside for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Please, because it's getting depressing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is really fast. What did they do for actors for comfort, kind of? Was there any kind of snacks or...
Like, how were the brakes operated?
Was there...
Yeah, I mean, if you were a smoker and you snuck out to the smoking area when you could, but if you weren't a smoker...
Asking for the non-smoker people, and I don't know if you're a smoker or not.
I mean, it just was sort of like, can I take a break? Like, when, you know, and, oh, yeah, yeah, well, so-and-so who's supposed to cover you is, like, on a break right now. Or a lot of times they would, I mean, I can't speak for the entire place, but I know, like, the smokers were kind of just snake out and disappear and be gone for a long time. And, you know, there were nights where, like, I actually never took breaks. Like,
really?
My break consisted of my contact is bothering me, can I run to the bathroom?
Yeah.
And then I'd go to the bathroom, there'd be people hanging out in the bathroom.
Wow. So they weren't even very good at making sure that the actors were comfortable and had the breaks that they needed to keep
going. I mean, there wasn't any, like, hey, you know, you need to go take a break, and hey, so-and-so come take over this room while, you know, or anything like that. There wasn't, like, a management of, like, making sure people got off the floor after a certain amount of time or anything. It was just, if you ran, and because I really didn't have anybody to cover for me, it wasn't like I could just, you know.
Well, yeah. And I'll say this as someone who never gets breaks when the haunt's open.
Yeah.
That there are certain essential roles where you just know the 4 or 5 hours you're open or whatever, you're on and there's no forgiveness.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm front of house. I'm the lead character at our haunt. And I'm the guy that basically tells everyone else when they can take breaks because there's no one in line immediately.
Yeah.
And so I'm the guy that when we are running a line and everyone else needs a break, I have to tap dance to keep the crowd entertained and energetic.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I never get breaks too, but that's kind of also, it's a choice for my role. It's a choice I made for myself when taking on that role.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. But at the same time, when you're, like I said, trying to grow, when you are running a haunt and you need those actors to have that energy, there's an importance to maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and make sure that they have drinks and things. And
you can bring water and hide a bottle of water somewhere.
Okay.
So
it wasn't like you weren't allowed to not have water or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I imagine after screaming most of the night, even if you know how to scream properly,
even if you're just talking.
Yeah.
Even if you're just purely in a talking role, try talking for about five. If you're at home and you have never tried this, try talking for about 5 hours straight, not drinking any water. See how well you do. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It doesn't go well.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well at all. And then imagine doing it while screaming.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you're new to haunting and you're listening to this podcast, A, welcome to the industry. B, try that. It's fine.
So one of the questions that we do always ask people is, what was either the favorite scare that you've seen performed for you or that you performed for someone, or both?
Favorite scare? Well, I remember, like, just seeing a group come in, and I literally just turned the corner, and when this man saw me, he fainted. That was pretty funny.
Oh. Yeah.
That's a huge flat compliment on your beauty, you see. You're obviously very attractive.
And a favorite one that, like, I experienced somewhere.
Yeah.
That's fine, yeah.
This summer I went to Raven's Grin Inn, I think it's called.
Yes.
Yes.
Our friend Kyle was telling us about this, yes.
And the whole experience was so insane. It wasn't anything like a typical haunt where there's, you know, actors and jumping out and zombies and all of it and monsters. Right. It was just walking through this crazy house with this person that you didn't know if he was insane or not. And there was a point that I was 100% sure that he was cutting off our friend's finger, and then this was it, and we weren't going to leave the house, and we were never going to be seen it from again.
Wow.
Like, it really, I was like, I think this is like, you know, when you're watching that movie and then everybody ends up in the basement. Like, I was sure she was getting her finger.
This is
off.
The Houses That October Built. I don't know if you've seen that film. It's need to actually do the full podcast on that film at some point.
Yeah, we do.
We need to rewatch it in order to do that, though, and that's the problem. I don't feel like rewatching it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the experience of going through that, it was like a 2-hour experience. And there was a point where, you know, you go down this, he wraps you up in this, all these things, like a giant burrito, and dumps you down this slide from the third floor down into the haunted wine cellar, and you just kind of land down there, and it's you're by yourself, and basically, like, we left, and I was just like, I feel like I was in the Twilight Zone, and then they started, like, messing with me, saying, like, oh, we're in the same town again, and Grace, we're in the same town again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because my understanding of this is technically a home haunt.
Yeah.
But it's open 365, yeah, minus certain days in which they're not open. They're weird days. So supposedly you're supposed to call or do something to check before you go. But they're open most days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kyle went to it, and he actually told us all about it, and now I'm really curious. Were you with him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're on that trip with him. Okay.
Yeah, there was a picture.
I thought that was the same trip. I was sitting there thinking I didn't want to say anything too stupid.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay. I always say two stupid things. I get it. I'm used to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to, like, a couple haunts, like, locally that, you know, were really great, and, you know, there were moments, you know, scary moments, like, you know, really cool things, but, you know, I walk out giggling, and it was fun, and...
Yeah.
There were, like I said, there were a few moments where I was like, and this is the moment where if one of us escapes, we tell them that that was the moment where we all, like, ended up in the box and dead and chopped up, and, you know, one person got out alive, and that was, that's gonna be the story.
Right.
This is a found footage film.
So, yes. This is, like, whenever you are watching, well, people yelling at the movie, don't go in there, don't go in there. And you're like, this is how they get in this position every time.
Yeah. You think it's all innocent, and really he's collecting people down there in the cellar.
Yeah. That's a good little story there.
That's interesting, though. It's also mortifying.
Yes. Yes.
I really want to go to this haunt now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes highly recommended.
Yes.
But you have to go without any expectations. I mean, like, erase anything that we've all told you, because, like, I didn't even know where we were going.
Yeah.
So and that's the other thing. Supposedly, the show is very different every time.
Yeah. And it was perfect, because driving there, we got caught in a giant rainstorm, and there was, like, literally movie-style lightning and thunder.
Right.
And we're soaking wet, and we come into this dark room, and he, like, puts us in this living room, and it's like, you know, all in the background, and the flash of lightning in this dark room, and it's like,
I think this is how the Clue movie began. That was real. Like,
yeah.
This is weird, because it's not, like, sound effects. It's actually a storm outside, and...
Right.
This might be our last night.
Oh. Well, I'm glad that it wasn't.
I'm glad that it wasn't. We made it back to New Orleans safe and sound, and were able to tell the story on this podcast. That's great news. So, yeah, I mean, sort of a few last questions to wrap things up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on it previously, but what do you think haunts should do to get more women involved in haunting in general? What do you think would be good first steps? Besides, obviously, your experience.
Douche nozzles.
Yeah. I was going to say greater respect, but yes. That works too.
I mean, you know, are you talking about, like, if they don't have enough women, or it's a new haunt, or, like, an existing haunt?
Well, let's start with a new haunt, then.
Yeah,
I mean,
haunt.
If it's a new haunt, like, I would, in whatever way they are advertising, whether it's, you know, even through acting schools or just social media or whatever.
Right.
Put out there that, you know, that you're really encouraging women to apply. There's some really, you know, like, say there's really great roles, or we want to hear you have your input, or, you know, want to hear what you can do to add to, because people, you know, I think that if you feel comfortable, like, ooh, I've always wanted to do that, but I didn't think I could do that.
Yeah.
But I really like zombies. I've always wanted to be a zombie, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Let them feel like they could have an input to what they're signing up for.
And that input keeps them invested, keeps them coming back, and
keeps
them getting better and better at it. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just a good general rule for every actor.
Yeah.
Is give some say.
Yeah.
And it can be amazing how, like, we routinely bring on actors after the haunt is built.
Yeah.
And so we can't customize a room to them, basically, is what it comes down to.
Right.
But we still say, you know, make this character your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be as simple as the dialogue, the timing. You know, there's some actors where you have to do the hand-holding, where it's like, okay, when this light blinks, you do the draw panel.
Yeah.
That's your role. Your timing sucks and we can't fix it. We've had a few like that. Not many, and not in recent years.
No, not in recent years.
Well, we've had a few like that, and it's just like, okay, light goes on, you do this. And then, but yeah, for most, yeah, that even that degree of control is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but an established haunt that realizes that there's something of a boys' club and they would like to get more variety amongst their cast.
I think reach out to the existing female cast and, you know,
have them tell them to bring their friends and...
Yeah, and then also encourage them to, you know, develop their characters
and to stick around and not just tell them to... Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let them feel like they're really a part of something and not just showing up and, you know, disregarded in various ways.
Right.
And you
just
also
punching a clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you also think having women in management roles would help.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know you said so earlier, but I wanted a chance to reiterate it.
Yes.
Because I think that's a very powerful thing, is having, because someone once said this about business in general. I can't remember who it was, but it said your management will reflect, you know, your staff, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The type of people you have in your management will become the type of people you have in your staff. You have all sexist, chauvinistic pigs in management, that's what you're going to get in your staff.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good mix of, you know, races, genders, every backgrounds in your management, you'll have that in your staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true in business in general, but especially in haunting.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, is there anything special you can think to make women more comfortable with haunting as an industry? Because a lot of women I've talked to are scared to go into it because of the boys' club mentality. Is there a way to make women more comfortable taking that first step and trying it out and assuring them?
Well, I mean, if they're uncomfortable, I think it's going to have to come down to whether or not there is female management. Because if somebody's uncomfortable and they are walking into, quote unquote, the boys' club, there's not going to be a lot that you can do to convince them other than maybe, you know, have other female actors be supportive of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but then that all depends on, like, do they know them? Is this like, you know, oh, my friend wants to get into that and I know you work there. Like, can you kind of, you know, show her the ropes or like be there to answer questions or something, then that's one thing. But it's kind of hard when it's already set and you're trying to say, yeah, you guys should go work there, but it's like, well, yeah, but I heard like the guys are all creepy and
yeah,
you know, kind of hard to convince them otherwise if that's the truth.
yeah it is.
And yeah. Because that's the thing, the term is haunt family. You hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be a family.
Yeah.
And that means treating each other with respect and love and not caring about the differences that between us, because we're united by the love of haunt.
Yes.
And I think that should be the number one thing. And maybe I'm an idealist in that regard. And in fact, I know I am. But I openly accept mine, embrace my idealism, damn it. But
yeah, it's rough too, because, like, you know, I feel like I went in with you know, a lot of ideas to be helpful,
right?
Not be like, I don't want to say no at all, because it wasn't even about that, but just, you know, offer my help, offer different suggestions,
right?
Offer my support, because, you know, there were certain things, areas that people were like overwhelmed with, and then not, and then I feel like almost by doing that, they were like, get her out of here.
Yeah.
We don't need anything. Okay.
So basically you showed initiative.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a desire to help the business, and mm-hmm, and they disregarded it, and actually you were punished for showing that.
I feel that way. Like, I don't know if that's a fact, but I feel like...
Now, do you feel that that was because you were a woman, or because you were an actor that showed initiative, period? Like, do you think a man who had done that would have the same outcome?
Mm.
I know that's purely speculative, I know, but
yeah.
I mean, I think it didn't help being a woman.
Okay.
Oh,
for sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know,
that's perfectly fine.
I'm trying to think if I knew any guys that, you know,
really showed initiative.
Yeah.
I mean, and I, one thing I know about this haunt, and thinking back, and like, it's actually, it's been around for a while, been going for a lot of years, is they do tend to have a lot of historically, not so much recently, but they've had a lot of interactive customer-facing characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know these were not manager-driven characters. No, it certainly couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be the result of the actor taking the reins, and because that's how you get those.
Right.
Yeah.
You, those types of characters don't come from manager. They come from good actors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've noticed that there have been fewer and fewer of those, and I'm wondering if maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and it's frustrating to see people who aren't that good at interacting put in positions where you really need a good interactive actor in that position.
Yeah, and right. Good improv, yeah.
It's a bummer as you walk through and you want that from that character.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not giving anything.
Yeah.
You've got to play to people's strengths, and every actor has their strengths, and if they're a good improv interaction actor, they need that type of role. If they're very good with the timing on the scare, they need that type of role.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the thing, there's so much variety in the roles actors can play. You can find something that plays to almost anybody's strength.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, when you see someone that obviously is not comfortable interacting, isn't very good at it, really struggling with it, it's more awkward than anything.
Right.
It's like, oh man, no, stop talking. Shh. It's okay.
Yeah, and I think that just goes down to like just whether sleep. Or not you just have sleep. good management for that. Whoever's in charge of doing that
right.
aspect of it, you know, casting or you know, placing people in different areas, like really think about what they're doing and not just putting buddies or like, oh, well, you've been here for years, so I'm going to give you that role. I mean, that's nice and like, you know, I can understand that, but at the same time, it's like, are you doing a haunt that's going to be like really good and people are going to come out really satisfied, or are you just kind of like, yeah, we're doing this because it's fun and we want to hang out. This is our way of hanging out with each other and we don't really care with customers.
And actors are happiest when they're shining.
Yeah.
They're happiest when they're doing it like that. We talked about that. Some people, you need to have a light and then they drop a panel or whatever. One guy we did that with was the happiest clam in the flipping world because he was scaring people all night.
Right.
Because he didn't have to think about the timing any. And he was the happiest clam he could be. He was great with it. So, yeah, people excel. People feel like they're doing good work. They are happy. They're happier.
Yeah, to me, if I'm not getting the opportunity to scare somebody, it doesn't matter if I'm being paid or not. What is the point if I don't get to scare somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, then
exactly.
You can get paid to not scare anybody anywhere.
Right.
You know? That's easy. I can get a newspaper right now and find you 100 jobs. I'll pay you not to scare people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, let me write the job. Please do not scare our customers. Well, thank you, Cricket, for spending this hour with us. We really appreciate it. Some great insight. And like I said, it was the conversation with you. Oh God, when was it? Months ago now. It was.
Yeah.
It feels like eons ago now.
Right.
I'm finding time gets slower and faster as you get older. It's kind of annoying. But yeah, that really inspired the series and the need to talk about it because women have such a different experience than male actors a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I know as a guy in haunting, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You can
observe it because you're, you know, you. Yeah. But
but the same token, I know that I don't know that experience. It's not my experience, so I understand that I don't get it. And that's why I like asking a lot of questions about it to try to better understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it helps me both as a haunt owner and as an actor and as a guy who goes to haunts to better grasp it a little better, I think.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts for you, Crystal?
No, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think this all been a great conversation.
Yeah.
So, on that
Anything
note...
Anything final that you want to say?
Oh, yeah.
No, I just appreciate you, you know, wanting to hear my thoughts.
Thanks.
I cannot believe I didn't. Oh, jeez. I'm a terrible male. I'm silencing women's voices here.
Typical man.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right?
I'm so sorry. I'm also hot and tired and everything else.
Yeah,
everything
excuse else is excuse.
Everything
is
else that could be wrong with me is wrong with me right now.
All right.
But on that note, everyone, thank you very much for spending the past hour with us. We'll be back next week. We will do the conference reminders again then, as usual. Oh, by the way, for conference reminders, just go back to last week, play last week's episode, and any conferences that already happened, just skip them. You don't go to those conferences.
Or you could just add the new list to the show notes.
I could do that, too. That might. Well, we could also get the new site up, which will have a conference section on it.
It will. I know.
I'm dropping the mic.
Hey, I got a lot of work done on that this week.
Oh, yes, you did. It looks beautiful. I'm actually very, very happy. We're hoping to debut it soon. I don't think it'll be this week or next.
We may give a sneak preview, though.
We could probably do that, actually. Yeah. That we probably can do.
Yep.
And get feedback. So, yes, actually, we'll do that.
Okay.
It'll be in the preview for it will be in the show notes this week. If you do not obtain this from hauntweekly.com, check out the show notes there. And look for the hidden link, which will not be hidden. It will be very visible in the show notes. So by hidden, I mean perfectly publicly visible link to what we are working on, to the project in progress.
Right.
But on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 41, Women in Haunting, number 3. We will see you guys next week.